The mission is to lead. In order to lead, you have to be able to, don't you? You have to be there. Doesn't mean we have to be completely equipped. I've known Jesus Christ as my Savior now for 46 years. I've had no doubt about my salvation from the time I was 4 years old when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Others may have doubted my salvation along the way, but I never did. To be able to lead, I'm still learning about the Word of God. I'm still growing as I go every single day, studying. And when something comes up that I'm like, hey, you know what? I've never heard it exactly that way. I want to read and to study and to grow. And so we don't come in as experts. We come in as growers, as learners rather. And I want you, in your notes if you would, even just write it down in the bulletin, a couple of things of leading someone to Jesus Christ. You have to have a connection, a relationship of some kind with God and through His Son Jesus Christ, but also to lead others to Jesus Christ. And I want to share a simple way to do this through using the book of John or a Gospel of John. I try to give out a Gospel of John to one person every single day. I'm not faithful in it, but I work towards it. Someday it's five, and it's not just flipping them out there, but it's giving one to a person that I have some kind of a connection, some kind of relationship to. I'm a creature of habit. If I go to the grocery store, I go to the same person in line every time I can. If I go to the gas station, I try to talk to the attendant inside. I can swipe my card, but I want to talk to the person because God has placed us here not to get gas in your car. God has placed us to be salt and light on this earth. And so I want to share with you a simple way to share the gospel. You can use seven fingers. You can use one day of the week, each day of the week, but to share the gospel, going backwards to frontwards through the book of John and then encouraging them to read it from front to back. It's a method that we use in Ecuador, and people that have messed up doctrine or have an idea of who God is, but they're like the demons, that they tremble, they understand who He is, but they've never met His Son, Jesus Christ. It's a method to be able to do that. Start with John chapter 20 and verse 31. John 20 and 31, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing ye might have life through His name. Amen? Go to John chapter 14 and verse 6. See, 20 tells us you can know. When we ask people in Ecuador, oh yes, they believe in God. Yes, I want to go to heaven. And if we ask them, if you stand before God and He were to say to you, why should I let you in? They're like, and that's where it ends. Do you know for sure? Well, I hope so. I don't have to say I hope so. I say I know so. Not because I deserve it, but because Jesus is the greatest and He paid for my sin. The Bible tells us in John 20, 31 that you can know that you know that you know that you know by believing in Him that He is the Christ, Jesus, the Son of God, and believing you might have life through His name. He goes from there that you can know. We understand that you can know. You don't have to wonder, am I good enough to make it? I'm going to give you that answer. No, you're not. But He paid that debt of sin for you so that you never had to, because you could not. You could get a heart transplant. You could get eye transplant. They do skin grafts and transplants now. It doesn't matter. You cannot have your sin paid for by anybody at all. It's not possible. But Jesus Christ did that for you. So you can know that you have eternal life. There's one way to do that, and that's found in John chapter 14 and verse 6. If you want to start on Sunday with John 20, go to Monday. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus says, yo soy el camino, la verdad y la vida. That got your attention, didn't it? Everybody's looking up and saying, uh-oh, now what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. That was Spanish, by the way. You can relax. It wasn't some other languages coming in here. That was just Spanish. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes unto the Father. How? But by me. So what's He say in John 20? You can know. John 14, 6, through me. I'm the only way possible. John 10, 27 to 30. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them an eternal life, and they shall never perish. So what's that mean? You're never going to perish in His name. You can know He is the way, the truth, and the life. It's through Him you're never going to perish. And then He says this. He says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You cannot lose your salvation. Because it's not based upon you, it's based upon Him, period. No ifs, ands, or buts. So John 20, 31, you can know that you have eternal life. John 14, 6, it's through Him. John chapter 10, we are secure in Him. John 10, 10, I'm come that ye might have life, and that more abundantly.
So I have eternal life, but God's given us a better life here. Pastor read through the Psalms today in a passage. David was kicking and screaming through many of the Psalms saying, the world around me is just horrible. They're against God. They're against me. Mow them down like the grass. Bale them up and feed them to the... Well, it didn't say it in those words, but as I travel through the countryside and I see a mower, or that's what I think of. Cut them down. But then he says, I trust in God. We don't have to walk around with pickle faces all of our life because we know the eternity, we know where it is, and he's given us that life today more abundantly. Pastor mentioned mom is about ready to go see Jesus. We thought it was going to be a couple of weeks ago, and those of you who know my father-in-law, he's been here at the church. How many of you know of them or know them? Roger and Judy Ellison, about half of the congregation here. I'm glad half of you don't know them. They're great people, but I mean that because that means you're new in the last 10 years and coming in here and being a part of the church. And what a blessing that is to see you here growing as a part of that body. Dad says this. He says, my believer is strong, but my feeler is weak. You understand that? He's about ready to lose his sweetheart of 54 years. She's ready to go see Jesus any minute. We're going to talk about how she gets to this point in a moment from the Word of God. But John 10:10, they're not walking around with sad faces. Yeah, there's times when they're looking as if, what is tomorrow? There's a dark tunnel. We don't see the end of it. There's not a light there except Jesus at the moment. But what is the next step? But I'm coming that you might have life. And guess what? I'm giving you that hope for today. And I know some of you are struggling today where you are in your life or circumstances or health or relationships. Whatever the case may be, we can wear the smile, but we can put it on from the inside because he's come to give us life. And he's given us that more abundantly. So where have we gone now? You can know John 20:31. It's through Jesus Christ, John chapter 14 and verse 6. My sheep hear my voice, I give to them eternal life. That ought to make all of us go, John chapter 10:10, I'm come that ye might have life and that more abundantly. John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. That's the way. God's infinite love for us, not just through his son, his love that sent his son to die on the cross. And as Jesus hung there on the cross and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Separated from his father that moment for the sin. Remember, Jesus three times in the garden prayed, if there's any other way, the circumstances of, if anything is possible, let this cup pass from me. But then what did he say? Yet not my will, but thy will be done. God loved us enough to send his only begotten son. I'm a fire chaser. When there's something that is burning, we heard about a barn that was burning, I'd have been there. I can't offer a whole lot of help except for prayer and counseling as a chaplain to those who are there. We let the experts take care of that. I would be there. I would go and try to rescue, not an animal, but I would try to help a person if it was at all possible, even if it meant my life for theirs. There's not a chance I'd ever send one of my sons to do the same. Not a chance that I would send one of my sons to rescue another person. But that's what God did for you, and that's what God did for me. And for that, I can say I have life, and I have that life more abundantly because he lives and he loves me infinitely. Last passage that I like to turn to, the day 7, you could be Saturday, you could share them all at once with them if you want. John chapter 3, verses 3, 5, and 7 say similar words. It's Jesus' discourse with Nicodemus, who came and asked him questions by night, and I love it how Jesus did not answer his questions, but he gave him exactly what he needed. And he said to Nicodemus this, except a man be born again, what is it? He cannot enter into. You can know John 20:31. He is the way, the truth, and the life. John chapter 14 and verse 6. He is the father, the shepherd that knows his sheep. John 10:27-30. 10:10, I'm come that you might have life and that more abundantly. John 3:16, God gave his only begotten son for me. That was Friday. Saturday's still coming. Then John 3:3, 5, and 7, his discourse with Nicodemus, except a man be born again, you're not going to get here to 20:31 that you know. But then John chapter 1 and verse 12 says this, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That is the message of salvation. And when you share that, back up and say, I want you to read from beginning to end in the book of John to understand more about this God that wants us to know that we know that we know that we know. How many of you want to know what you're going to have for lunch today? I heard we're having a church dinner afterwards, and I'm getting my fork ready. My taste buds are juvenating, whatever that word is supposed to be. Salivating, that's it. We're going to be rejuvenated afterwards. I mean, I'm thinking about that. My son has to know on the board what is for breakfast, lunch, and supper. He wants to know. I know eternity. I know the end game because he came that I might have life and that more abundantly. Amen? The mission is to lead people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to gather together, to be discipled, to go back out and to do the same. That connection, that relationship that we have is absolutely phenomenal. Our passage this morning, I know we've already been to 7, but our passage this morning comes from Acts chapter 4. We're going to be keying in on verse 13. The world in which we live demands connectivity. We had the privilege of connecting with you back in 2010 through a connection that you had with my father-in-law from previous to that, through connections that we've had because we're brought together in the body of Christ. If you're a business owner or you're looking to hire someone, you usually do not go to monster.com and try to find somebody. You want somebody that you know because the evil within them is better than the evil that you do not know. Is that not correct? It's relationships. It's connectivity. We all have someone, or we should have someone, that in time of need we're going to call because they're going to be right there, that connection and that relationship. The greatest connection and relationship that we can have is with Jesus Christ, period. With His Father, with the Holy Spirit, there is no greater connections that we can have. As I shared with you for the book of John, how to share the Word of God, how to lead others to Jesus Christ, that connection, that relationship that they want to see, that we want them to see, is not our fancy methods of sharing the gospel. I've given you one way to do it. You have a tool in your hand to go and to use that at this moment. But all of our fancy words, all of our fancy tricks, all of our fancy tracks that we have, I could share with you how to use an evangel cube. I could share with you how to make a rope trick and turn it into a cross. I could do a paint board with you because over my time as a believer, I've learned many methods of sharing the gospel. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, but God in His divine wisdom has chosen for you and for me to be His representatives. It is a good thing that I am not God, because I would not have chosen me. I would not have chosen you. I would have written it in the clouds. I'd have done something different, but He's chosen you and me as broken vessels to be able to go and to share His Word. We come here in Acts chapter 4, and it's a time of Peter and John going up to the temple to pray in Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4. And I encourage you this afternoon, instead of coming to the business meeting, to sit down and to come this afternoon, read John chapter 3 and chapter 4 during today to get the full context of the message that we're finding here. It was soon after the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which, by the way, I like to add all three in together, not just remembering His death, not just His resurrection, but He died, He was buried, He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That gives us the payment for sin. It gives us the hope for eternity because of the Word of God. They were going up to the temple to pray because it was a time of transition, as their custom had been to go up to the temple, and they see a man there that was lame from birth at the gate of the temple. In Ecuador, we have people that are alongside the street, and if you pass by certain street, La Avenida de las Américas, you're going to find this one gentleman at that corner. You go to another, you're going to find another gentleman. You're going to find another lady. You're going to find, and we know right where they will be every single day, looking for some way to feed themselves and to make money because of their handicaps, their disabilities, that they cannot work a full-time job where they are. This man was laying at the gate of the temple. He'd been there from birth, and Peter and John are ready to pass by, and he reaches out to receive something from them. And Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none, but rise up and walk. This is going to be a whole lot better." His ankles, his knees, his legs regained strength. He stood up, who had never from birth done that before. And all the people went, "Oh, how did that happen?" By the way, the two men that went up, Peter and John. Do you remember Peter? Peter never missed an opportunity to open up his mouth. Remember there in the garden, we'll go backwards a little bit in this message as well. Remember in the garden, Peter was there. They came to arrest Jesus. He grabbed the sword and he whacked off the ear of a servant, trying to delay them from taking Jesus to the cross at that moment. Remember, it was Peter that Jesus there that day said, I'm going to wash the disciples' feet as a show of servanthood because I am the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, but I am come to seek and to save that which was lost, to serve and to not be served. And what did Peter say? You can't do that. Give me a whole bath. That's my translation, but go read it. You'll find it very, very similar. It was Peter who stepped out of the boat and said, Lord, bid me to come if it is you. We criticize Peter for seeing all the situation around him and sinking because he did not have faith. But you and I would have been huddled down there with whatever life jacket that we could hold on to, or 12 other disciples climbing on top so that they would float and we would too. Peter reaches out. Jesus says, reaches him. He says, Lord, save me. And he does immediately, straightway. It was Peter that was there in the outer courtyard as Jesus was being tried to be put to death, to be crucified, a horrible death on the cross. Jesus had told him that three times you're going to deny me before the cock crows in the morning. And what did Peter say? Young lady comes up to him the first time and says, are you one of his servants? Nope. Second time, are you one of his servants? You look familiar. No. Third time, the Bible says he swore. I do not know him. And turned away. And by the way, again, before we criticize Peter, you and I would not have been anywhere near that court, because it could have been meant our death as well. You see, something had happened from that night until this day. Jesus died, was buried, crucified on the cross of Calvary, rose again the third day, and Peter now had new life, had new understanding. Though he didn't catch everything, he had a new boldness, and he did not hesitate to open up his mouth and to give him a message and said, by the way, it was in the power of Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, whom God raised up from the dead. It is in his name that this man was made whole. If I was John walking with him that day, I'd have been, oh no, here goes Peter. We're out of here, or we're going to get our heads cut off. I can't believe he just said that. You see, we have two messages from Peter here in chapter 3 and chapter 4. They're almost the exact same message that he gives. He had been changed from the inside out. I want you to take note here because it marveled all the people could not understand what had happened there in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. What's it say? They took knowledge of them that what? That they had been with Jesus. You see, it wasn't his fancy words. Because it says they observed that they were unlearned and ignorant men. It did not mean that they were stupid and incapable, but they had not been trained in all of the ways of the law. They did not have the right vocabulary to use, but there was something that was different about them. You know what it was? It was that they had been with Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you this morning in this church, the number one way to impact this community is not going to be by our door-to-door knocking. It's not going to be by our community days. It's not going to be by our potluck supper. It's not going to be any other way. You know how it's going to be? It's as if they observe that you and I have what? That we have been with Jesus. I don't mean the mechanics of it. I don't mean gathering together at church. I don't mean going to business meetings. I don't mean singing and praying and doing our daily devotions, though all of those together help to grow us, be the men, the women, the boys and girls that God has for us. But you know what's going to impact this community? That they had been with Jesus. You see, it's not just a need here. It's a need in Ecuador where I live. It's a need in the seven continents around the world. It's all throughout every congregation everywhere. God will draw those to himself that he desires. But you know what's going to make the difference? It's as you and I have been with Jesus. I want to ask you a real personal question this morning. Only you can answer it, and I ask you to do it in your heart this morning between you and God. Are you a man who has been with Jesus? Would others know that you have been with Jesus? Ma'am, if you're sitting here today, can I ask you a question as well? Have you been with Jesus? Do others around you know that you are a woman or a young lady who has been with Jesus? You see, the impact there at that time of the early church was just absolutely incredible. You read through the first 10, 11 chapters of the book of Acts, and you will find as the word of God went out that there were added to the church daily as such that would be saved. There were 3,000 that came. There were 5,000 that came. It goes on and on, and you get to Acts chapter 12. And I believe because the believers were ones who had been changed, not just raised a hand and joined the club, but they are ones who had truly been changed. They had been with Jesus. The word says that the word of God multiplied. That it went out from them. And it's that same gospel that we have today because they went out to share the gospel that brings us to where we are in this day and age, where we are. Have you been with Jesus? It's going to show. Our ministry in Ecuador is three different things. One is evangelism of our police force and our first responders. Second is encouragement of national pastors, because as men and women come to know the Lord, police officers, firefighters, EMTs, the military, as they come to know the Lord, we get them into a local church in the area where they live. Often their families live in a different location. We connect them in together, and so we get an opportunity to meet pastors that are in the middle of nowhere that may not have resources or recourses to be able to use to teach, and sometimes they just need a great big hug and someone just to say, hey, how are you doing today? What's really happening in the real world where you are? How can we love you and encourage you from the Word of God? So it's evangelism, encouragement, but it's engagement in the next generation to do the same. We're looking for people to come and serve with us for between 2 months to 2 years, or even 2 weeks, to come and to see and to be a part of the ministry and to serve alongside with us. When I was a youth pastor in Buffalo, New York, we stayed in a home one time on a youth outing of a police officer who was about 9 foot, 9.5 inches tall. That's Goliath's height, by the way. I mean, he was a big guy. I would have said, yes, sir, no, sir, whatever you ask, sir, no matter what, just because of his size. And he says, when you have kids that are teenagers, here's what I want you to do. He says, when they're out at night and they come home, I want you to go and I want you to give them a great big hug. I give my children hugs all the time. He says, I want you to take and I want you to bury your nose into their hair and into their neck. And I want you to say, I love you so much. Pizza. They went out for pizza. They were with Samantha and James. Ooh, what is that? I don't know what that smell is. He said you can tell where they have been just by the smells that are left on their clothes and on their hair. So I never told my kids until they were adult children now, I'd give them a great big hug. Daddy missed you so much. I was great for happy for the break and just to be with your mama for a little bit. But I'm so glad you're back. Yeah, we went out and we had pizza. Well, why do I smell Chinese food? Well, you know, the pizza parlor that's right next to the Chinese. Okay, now I understand. Now I can get that. Why? Because I could tell who they had been with. Ladies and gentlemen, can I ask you today, are you one who has been with Jesus? Because it'll be even more evident than my nose can pick up to all of those that are around you. Whether you truly or not have been with Jesus. I want to take just a couple of minutes here in the Word of God, and I want to look at what it means to be a man or a woman who has been with Jesus. A man or woman who has been with Jesus, and I think here in Peter's message in chapter 3 and chapter 4. We'll look primarily at chapter 4 and what he says, because chapter 3 is very, very similar. Please do read it, because there's a whole lot more meat here than I'm able to share this morning. Chapter 4 and verse 10. I believe one who has been with Jesus is one who runs to the cross. One who has been with Jesus is one who runs to the cross. Not just the first time, but daily in our lives, remembering where we have come from and what He has done for us. Acts chapter 4 and verse 10, it says this. Excuse me, I'm out of place here. Could somebody read that nice and loud for me, please? Acts chapter 4 and verse 10. Would you read that loud, please?
Be it known unto you all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you all.
He says this, Jesus Christ, whom ye crucified. He doesn't go much into the cross, but he runs back to the cross. When's the last time that you actually just sat and reflected on the cross of Jesus Christ? And what it means in your life. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt that I could not pay. Period. It was impossible. And when he said, consumado es, it is finished. That debt is paid in full. He did it for me. We're real good at running back to the cross at Easter. We're real good at running back to the cross when we celebrate the Lord's table. To me, that always sounds like a funny combination of words. Celebrate the Lord's table, because it's remembering His death. But it is truly a time of celebration, is it not? Because there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Some of you today, I have no doubt, are still carrying a weight of sin, thinking that you have to pay for something, you have to get back, you have to give back because of what you have done in your life. By the way, if we were to ask how many are sinners this morning, every single foot would be on the floor and our body standing, because every single one of us falls into that category. My mother-in-law in her later days here has not been very communicative since September. She'll talk. She won't do much. But you bump her and you know what comes out? Evidence that throughout her 74 years of life, she's been with Jesus. There is no doubt. We have the daily bread in the house, and I call it the Gospel of John because it's usually on the back of the John. Mom would read the daily bread every single day, and even now the nurses read to her from the daily bread. Mom is one who has been with Jesus. I'm still the son-in-law, so I still get the son-in-law kicks because I deserve it. But Mom has been with Jesus. I want to be that kind of person that on my deathbed, people turn around and recognize that I am one who has been with Jesus. There's only one way to do that. I believe it involves running back to the cross and thanking Him daily for what He has done in saving us and rescuing us out of the pit of sin. We have a tendency to see others that are worse sinners than us, and we get a little bit prideful and arrogant, but that's not what God desires of us. This morning I encourage you, you want to be one who's been with Jesus? Do as Peter did. He ran back to the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18 says, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish. It is foolishness. They do not understand it. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Take a look also with me at chapter 4 and verse 10. It says this. Be it known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, run back to the cross, whom God raised from the dead. Not only run back to the cross, but rejoice in the resurrection. Would you with me? Rejoice in the resurrection. He is not here. He is what? Risen. That should put joy on our face, the hope for eternity. Absent from the body is what? It is present with the Lord. Now, if we go through this whole entire room, I'm going to guess that there's some of you that have or are struggling or know someone who has with a very difficult medical diagnosis. No doubt in my mind. There are some of you that have had some very challenging, difficult days in the job and in the work where you have been. There are relationship difficulties. There are financial difficulties. How many of us, when we have a flat tire, just say, oh, praise Jesus, I get to change the tire? It does not happen. If it does, please come tell me because you're weird. My alternator went when I was in North Carolina, and I was not saying, amen, Christ arose. But you know what I did? I said, amen, Christ arose, and I got a Christian friend that lives 30 minutes from here. I know who can help me change my alternator because he's got more cool tools than I do. And so I went and I messed up his garage instead of my own. You and I are part of the family of God. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because of He paid the debt of sin for you and for me, we have got to rejoice. We're going to have those times when we can't get that smile out. But the sun comes up tomorrow morning, does it not? And as David says in the Psalms, yuck! But I know who He is. I know who God is. You and I need to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ every single day of our lives. That we have that hope of the future. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. What made a difference? I believe Peter and John, they did two things so far. One, he ran back to the cross. You read through the New Testament, you're going to find servant of God after servant of God who goes back and mentions the cross as a key, a central focus of our salvation. My family and I used to vacation up in Maine when we lived in upstate New York. It was just a short drive over there, and we'd go to a church in the middle of nowhere, take a left, drive 30 minutes farther to the middle of nowhere. It would make Rural Grove look like a metropolitan city from where we were. There was one house, and that was it, in the church. We went there on a Sunday morning, and the church was full. And by the way, anybody here from Maine? People up there talk different than we do. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to go any deeper. The song leader gets up, and I encourage you not to do this because you might scare away some of the people. But he starts the service. We sing a couple of nice songs. He says, and he leans forward, and he gets this look in his eyes, and we started to back up just a little bit. And he says, let's sing a bloody one! My children looked at me and said, Dad, we're out of here, aren't we? And then as a church, they began to sing, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You see, they ran back to the cross. We sang time and time and time again other songs about the cross, the payment that was made, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we sang about the resurrection and what He has done for us to give us that hope of eternity in heaven with Him. By the way, this 70, 80, 90, 100 years that we may have here on this earth, this is not even the warm-up party for eternity. This is not even a twinkling of an eye. It is just the beginning, preparing us for all of eternity. As we learned in Sunday school, inside of this book, understanding what the kingdom is, what He has for us, it is for all of eternity. It is with Him. You want to be one who is known as to have been with Jesus? You got to run to the cross. Perhaps today is the day for the very first time you need to run to the cross. Would you do it? I shared with you from the book of John to start us off this morning. You can know that you have eternal life. Get to the cross. Second, rejoice in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The third, I believe here, is found in verse 12. You have got to repeat the story of salvation. The mission of Christian Church of Rural Grove is to lead others. You got to share that message of salvation. You know what happens when you share it? You understand it even more and more. The more it's repeated out of your mouth, the more you catch it. The more you understand it, the more you believe it. Not that it changes what has been done and what has taken place, but you get excited about it just talking about it and what God has done for you. Verse 12 says this, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby what? Whereby you must be saved. Ladies and gentlemen, let's be with Jesus. Run to the cross. Rejoice in the resurrection. Repeat that message of salvation. That's going to make the difference in the world where we live. Let's bow our heads together in a word of prayer. As we reflect for just a moment on the Word of God this morning, I don't know where you are in your personal walk, your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I do know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you can know that you have eternal life. You may sit here today and you say, you know what, I'm not worthy. Join the club. None of us are. But it's only by the shed blood of Jesus Christ that we are made in right standing with the Father because of His Son. Would you run back to the cross with me this morning? Maybe for you it's the first time that you need to recognize Him as your Lord and Savior. Agree with the Word of God where it tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have no chance, and what we deserve is hell, separation from Him for all of eternity. But that's not what we receive by His grace. But by leaning on Him, the way, the truth, and the life, we can have that life through Him. Christian, you're here today, and like me, you remember maybe even the seat you were sitting in when you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Are you one who is known as having been with Jesus? I don't mean because you have the fancy words. I don't mean because you have the tricks. I don't mean because you have a Bible sitting on your desk or in your car. I mean because there's something different from the inside. That when you're jolted, it is God-like stuff that comes out. Rejoice in the resurrection with me today. That is our hope for the future, no matter what takes place here. But repeat that story of salvation. As I look at this town and as I look around us, I know that we come from surrounding communities. God has placed you there to repeat that story of salvation to the world, the connections that you have. They marveled at Peter and John because they were unlearned and ignorant men, but they took note of them that they had been with Jesus.